are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Monday edition. Today is December 9th, 2019, and today is the day that everyone has been waiting for months. The Inspector General report, Department of Justice Inspector General report, on what? What they reviewed were the four FISA, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, applications that the FBI made to the court that were approved that spied on the American people. Now, if you listen to media, what are they saying? What's CNN saying and many of the, well, all the big lie media are saying? Big lie media are saying, well, they're spreading a big lie. Oh, it was properly initiated. It was? Really? It wasn't biased in any way? You're supposed to verify everything in the FISA warrant. They didn't do that. And they admitted the fact, an admission here, folks, an admission that the Hillary Clinton campaign and the Democratic National Committee paid for the Steele report, which was the basis of this warrant. Remember, they tried this earlier and were declined. So they hid from the court, misled the court, as to who financed this. We found out later it was the Democratic Party and Hillary Clinton. Opposition research that they said it was called the Steele dossier, which was fabricated garbage. And they deliberately misled the court when, see, Steele was not the primary source, or what they call the second source that gave him the information, because they went back to him later and found out this was just barroom talk, rumors, gossip, and some of the details that Steele put in. His source, I didn't tell him that. He's making it up. Ladies and gentlemen, this is part of a larger conspiracy. It's not just the FBI, and this was the, what I call the fig leaf. The fig leaf that they were following FBI procedures when they were not following procedures. Let me just read something. I think it's on page 413 or 14. Yeah, 413. As a result of this, 17 significant inaccuracies and omissions were identified. Relevant information that was not shared with and consequently not considered by important department decision thinkers. And the court and the FISA applications made it appear as though the evidence suggested probable cause was stronger than actually this case. That was actually this case. We also found basic, fundamental, and serious errors during the completion of the FISA factual accuracy reviews, known as Woods procedures, which are designated to ensure that the FISA applications contain a full and accurate presentation of the facts. The court was deliberately misled, and they remember, the application was approved and it's for 90 days, and they submitted three other applications that were approved. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a scandal. Now, we're going to hear directly from the Inspector General, who's going to testify in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Senator Lindsey chairs that. And we're going to get a lot of details, a lot more details, because he's going to be questioned not only by Lindsey, but also Senator Cruz and others. This is just the tip of the iceberg. Now, many people that have followed this know many of these details already. Didn't surprise me. I guess the best person in terms of television has been Sean Hannity. I salute him, although he tends to be repetitious. You got to keep repeating it because most people don't pay attention to this. Why should you be paying attention to this? If they could do it to Donald Trump and the Republican campaign, they can do it to anybody. These were crimes. These admissions were crimes. They were spying on you and me, the American people. They shouldn't have been doing it. Remember, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, primarily what the court deals with is counter-espionage when other foreign governments are trying to spy on us. This time, they were spying on the American people, the Republican candidate for president and his campaign, and deliberately misleading the court, repeatedly misleading the court, and hiding it from the American people. Now, they're going to say it was duly authorized. The court ordered it. Well, I'm waiting to hear from the FISA court judge. People should be indicted on this, prosecuted, and thrown in jail and fired. Now, many of them already resigned and quit. The big boys scattered quickly. James Comey still is trying to convince you that this exonerates him. No, it doesn't. Not at all. And what is Congress doing? And I'll spend a minute on that. They're trying to impeach the president. Good luck with that. There's no high crime. The American people, largely, that follow this said, this is ridiculous. But see, I'm cheering the Democrats on. Please impeach, because I think you're going to get your head handed to you. And what I mean by that, the Republican Senator Mitch McConnell, the majority leader of the Senate, they're discussing how should they handle this. After the Democrats present their impeachment, articles of impeachment, well, they can dismiss it. And really, that's what they should do normally. But I don't recommend that. I recommend it. You shove this down their throat. In other words, show that this is trumped up railroading of a president and how weak their case is. This should have never happened to President Trump. Neither this investigation, spying, they like to call it surveillance. Spying is a perfectly good word because that's what they were doing. And the more you learn of the details, the madder you get. And these were FBI agents and high management officials. They were keeping this, never thought this would see the light of day, and let me repeat why. They thought Hillary Clinton was going to win. Why were they doing this? They were trying to defeat Donald Trump in the election. They failed, and then after they failed, well, let's continue and try to make the American people believe, with the help of big lie media, and they're still helping, by the way, that Donald Trump was in cahoots, colluding, conspiring with the Russians. They had no evidence of that. That's their problem. They had no evidence. They had a very dirty mind. No evidence. Oh, yeah, they told the Russians, stop doing what you're doing. Not once, not twice, but three times. The CIA director told him twice, and our own president told him again. But who did they not tell? And they should have told the Trump campaign. Instead, they continued with their investigation. I fear for my country. We have had a party that's been taken over by the radical left, and most of these people, they truly believe that the ends, in this case, was the election of Hillary Clinton, justified any means, including the corruption of the FBI, the Central Intelligence Agency, and the Department of Justice. This is scandalous behavior, and this is just the early innings. This is not the final inning, because there's a criminal investigation being conducted by the United States Attorney in Connecticut, John Durham, who rarely makes a statement on an ongoing investigation. But on this, he felt compelled to say, I don't agree with the conclusions. Now, fortunately, we have Attorney General Barr was on television, NBC, surprise, surprise. And I'll play that in a couple of minutes. But I thought a good introduction to this topic, what was the president's reaction? Well, let's listen in the cabinet room.
Okay, thank you very much. The IG report just came out, and I was just briefed on it, and it's a disgrace what's happened with respect to the things that were done to our country. It should never again happen to another president. It is incredible, far worse than I would have ever thought possible. And it's an embarrassment to our country. It's dishonest. It's everything that a lot of people thought it would be, except far worse. So I'm going to get some very detailed briefings. But they are. It's a very sad day when I see that. Very sad day when a lot of people see that. They had known nothing. It was concocted. And you say what you want. That was a probably something that's never happened in the history of our country. Pam Bondi, I think you were able to look at some of the report and can address a little bit of it very well. If you might say a few words, I'd like to ask Kellyanne. I know you've looked at it also. Please.
Sure, President. You know, so many of us who are career law enforcement today are outraged. And I think the American people really should be terrified that this could happen to you when we're supposed to live in a society of integrity and honesty. And this happened to the president, not just to the president. You know, this should be a good day, but it's not. It's a horrible day for the country. That this could happen to the president of the United States, that they could fabricate, falsify emails, lie, and omit exculpatory evidence in order to continue this witch hunt against the president of the United States. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. Now we have the Durham investigation.
Thank you very much. Kellyanne, please.
Mr. President, thank you. I was the campaign manager during that time, and I would ask a simple question. Why no defensive briefing? Why not contact the Trump campaign? Why not contact candidate Trump or Governor Pence or Governor Christie, who at the time was arranging for the intelligence briefings for candidate Trump and was a public servant, a government official at that time as governor of New Jersey with a full intelligence security clearance to receive that type of information. So you can't blame people for feeling that it was unfair and that the fix was in. And to think that perhaps people lied and spied and tried to subvert democracy just because they wanted someone else to win or just because they have a different political point of view. That is not the way the world's greatest democracy has been formed and can survive at a time such as this. I will just repeat something that Attorney General Barr said today, Mr. President, that this was an intrusive investigation of a U.S. presidential campaign on the thinnest of suspicions. And that is chilling language for any of us who want our government to work for us and not against us. I only wish they had come and informed us, Mr. President, and we could have had the knowledge and the wherewithal to act at that time and not put the taxpayers through two-plus protracted years of nonsense. Thank you, sir.
Well, they fabricated evidence, and they lied to the courts, and they did all sorts of things to have it go their way. And this was something that we can never allow to happen again. The report actually, and especially when you look into it and the details of the report, are far worse than anything I would have even imagined what they were doing and what they would have done if I didn't make a certain move that was a very important move, because it would have been even worse, if that's possible. And they might have been able to succeed. This was an overthrow of government. This was an attempted overthrow. And a lot of people were in on it, and they got caught. They got caught red-handed. And I look forward to the Durham report, which is coming out in the not-too-distant future. He's got his own information, which is this information plus, plus, plus. And it's an incredible thing that happened, and we're lucky we caught him. I think I'm going to put this down as one of our great achievements, because what we found and what we saw, never, ever should this happen again in our country.
Now, I'm going to leave it there, but I think it's outrageous what the FBI did, but is it really just the FBI or the Department of Justice and the Central Intelligence Agency. No, these high-level officials would not have done this at all had not President Barack Obama ordered and authorized this. Remember what they were using as the justification for this FISA warrant was bought and paid for by the Democratic National Committee and the Hillary Clinton campaign to dig up opposition research, dirt on Donald Trump. And the information they got in the so-called Christopher dossier was fiction. It was fabricated. It was lies. And that was used to support and be the foundation for this warrant. A lot of people are in serious trouble, and they should be prosecuted for signing this document. And I'm talking the FBI director, the deputy director, Andrew McCabe, the attorney general, Loretta Lynch, her deputy, Sally Yates, and the central intelligence director, Brennan, John Brennan, and others. But all along the way, the president wanted to be totally informed about this. So why some of the lower level people will say, wait a minute, I'm just following orders. If you're ordered to commit a crime, namely using the intelligence capability of the FBI and other agencies to go after American citizens, it's illegal. You don't have a basis for doing this. And they didn't. It was flimsy. Now, it's interesting that Attorney General William Barr gave an interview to NBC News to discuss this report. And I will play excerpts from it. Let's start it off.
Mr. Attorney General, why do you say that the FBI opened the investigation of the Trump campaign on the thinnest of suspicions?
Well, I'm glad to get into the issue of predication, but let me just start out by saying that I think you have to put this in context. I think the heart of the IG's report really focused on how the investigation was conducted once it got going, and that is especially the very serious abuses of FISA that occurred, much of which has been, in my view, not accurately reported by the press over the last day. But in one area, I do disagree with the IG, and that was whether there was sufficient predication to open a full-blown counterintelligence investigation, specifically using the techniques that they did to collect intelligence about the Trump campaign.
Well, as a policy matter, why not open an investigation on a thin pretext? I guess on the one hand, you could say it's a presidential campaign, it's very sensitive, you need better evidence. On the other hand, you could say it's a presidential campaign. We have to be very careful. There could be a threat to our political process.
Well, I think I think probably from a civil liberty standpoint, the greatest danger to our free system is that the incumbent government use the apparatus of the state, principally the law enforcement agencies and the intelligence agencies, both to spy on political opponents, but also to use them in a way that could affect the outcome of the election. As far as I'm aware, this is the first time in history that this has been done to a presidential campaign, the use of these counterintelligence techniques against a presidential campaign. And we have to remember that in today's world, presidential campaigns are frequently in contact with foreign persons. And indeed, in most campaigns, there are signs of illegal foreign money coming in. And we don't automatically assume that the campaigns are nefarious and traitors and acting in league with foreign powers. There has to be some basis before we use these very potent powers in our core First Amendment activity. And here, I felt this was very flimsy. Basically, I think the department has a rule of reason, which is at the end of the day, is what you're relying on sufficiently powerful to justify the techniques you're using? And the question there is, how strong is the evidence? How sensitive is the activity you're looking at? And what are the alternatives? And I think when you step back here and say, what was this all based on? It's not sufficient. Remember, there was and never has been any evidence of collusion. And yet this campaign and the president's administration has been dominated by this investigation into what turns out to be completely baseless.
Well, of course, it doesn't turn out that way at the beginning, at the start.
So let's look at the, if You know, let's look at what the basis of it was. So in May 2016, apparently a 28-year-old campaign volunteer says in a social setting.
This is George Papadopoulos.
This is George Papadopoulos. And this was described by the foreign official who heard him, as who couldn't remember exactly what was said, but it was characterized as a suggestion of a suggestion. He suggested that there had been a suggestion from the Russians that they had some adverse information to Hillary, which they might dump in the campaign. Well, what was going on in May? You may recall that we were in the thick of the investigation of Hillary Clinton's secret server. And the media was full of stories, and the blogosphere was full of stories, and political circles in Washington were full of stories and speculation that the Russians had, in 2014, 2 years before, hacked into her secret server and were therefore in a position to drop this stuff during the election. In fact, the day before this comment was made in a bar, Fox News was reporting that their sources told them there was a debate going on in the Russian government as to whether or not to drop this, Hillary Clinton's emails, between the intelligence agency and the foreign ministry. But that related to Hillary's server. So the FBI, what the FBI did is later, after the DC, the DNC hack and the dumping through Wikipedia in July.
WikiLeaks,
in July, they get this information that this somewhat vague statement was made in a bar. And they jumped right into a full-scale investigation before they even went and talked to the foreign officials about exactly what was said. They opened an investigation of the campaign, and they used very intrusive techniques. They didn't do, I think, what would normally be done under those circumstances, which is to go to the campaign. And there certainly were people in campaign that could be trusted, including a member of the judiciary, Senate Judiciary Committee, and the governor of New Jersey, former U.S. attorney. There were people to talk to. And what I find particularly inexplicable is that they talked to the Russians, but not to the presidential campaign. On August 4th, Brennan braced the head of Russian intelligence. He calls the head of Russian intelligence and says, "We know what you're up to. You better stop it." He did it again later in August. And then President Obama talked to President Putin in September and said, "We know what you're up to. You better cut it out." So they go and confront the Russians, who clearly are the bad guys, and they won't go and talk to the campaigns and say, you know, what is this about?
So the Inspector General says he found no evidence to indicate that the FBI's decision to start this investigation was based on political bias. Do you agree?
Well, I think you have to understand what the IG's methodology is, and I think it's the appropriate methodology for an inspector general. He starts with limited information. He can only talk to people who are essentially there as employees, and he's limited to the information generally in the FBI. But his approach is to say, if I get an explanation from the people I'm investigating that is not unreasonable on its face, then I will accept it as long as there's not contradictory testimonial or documentary evidence. In other words, it's a very deferential standard. And all he said is, people gave me an explanation and I didn't find anything to contradict it, so I don't have a basis for saying that there was improper motive. But he hasn't decided the issue of improper motive.
Have you?
No. I think we have to wait until the investigation, the full investigation is done, and that's the fundamental distinction between what Durham is doing and what the IG is doing. Durham is not limited to the FBI. He can talk to other agencies. He can compel people to testify. One of the problems in the IG's investigation, I think he would agree, is that Comey refused to sign back up for his security clearance and therefore couldn't be questioned about classified matters. So someone like Durham can compel testimony. He can talk to a whole range of people, private parties, foreign governments, and so forth. And I think that is the point at which a decision has to be made about motivations. And I think right now it would be premature to make any judgment one way or the other.
I just wonder, though, about the what the FBI would say, I think, here is, okay, so they opened an investigation. Nobody was ever charged. They were concerned about possible Russian meddling in the election. Why not open this investigation? What's the harm? You've said intrusive means. So what is your concern about the fact that they did this?
Well, I think the big picture is this. From day one, remember, they say, okay, we're not going to go to talk to the campaign. We're going to put people in there, wire them up, and have these conversations with people involved in the campaign, because that way we'll get the truth. From the very first day of this investigation, which was July 31st, 2016, all the way to its end in September 2017, there was not one incriminatory bit of evidence to come in. It was all exculpatory. The people that they were taping denied any involvement with Russia, denied the very specific facts that the FBI was relying on. So what happens? The FBI ignores it, presses ahead, withholds that information from the court, withholds critical exculpatory information from the court while it gets an electronic surveillance warrant. It also withholds from the court clear-cut evidence that the dossier that they ultimately relied on to get the FISA warrant was a complete sham. They hid information about the lack of reliability even when they went the first time for the warrant. But in January, after the election, the entire case collapsed when the principal source says, I never told Steele this stuff. And this was all speculation. No, and I have zero information to support this stuff. At that point, when their entire case collapsed, what did they do? They kept on investigating the president and well into his administration after the case collapsed. But here, to me, is the damning thing. They not only didn't tell the court that what they had been relying on was completely rubbish, they actually started putting in things to bolster the Steele report by saying, well, we talked to the sources and they appeared to be truthful. But they don't inform the court that what they're truthful about is that the dossier is false. So that's hard to explain. And the core statement, in my opinion, by the IG is that these irregularities, these misstatements, these omissions were not satisfactorily explained. And I think that leaves open the possibility to infer bad faith. I think it's premature now to reach a judgment on that, but I think that further work has to be done, and that's what Durham is doing.
This, of course, is where the Inspector General is most critical of the FBI. And when you say bad faith, are you saying a bias? Because there can be all sorts of bias. There could be political bias, confirmation bias. What do you think happened?
Well, I think there are a number of scenarios, but I don't want to get into them. I think there could have been a lot of motivations involved and different motivations. And there could have been motivations in the FBI and motivations outside the FBI by other players in this. This thing focuses on the FBI. There was a lot going on around this that is not the subject matter of Horowitz's report, but I think has a direct bearing perhaps on what was going on in the FBI.
Based on what you know so far, do you still stand by your statement that the campaign was spied upon?
Well, it's clearly spied upon. I mean, that's what electronic surveillance is. I think wiring people up to go in and talk to people and make recordings of their conversations is spying. I think going through people's emails, which they did as a result of the FISA warrant, they went through everything, from Page's life.
Because he wasn't in the campaign at the point where they began the surveillance.
Yes, but his emails were go back. I mean, the main reason they were going for the FISA warrant initially was to go back historically and seize all his emails and texts and all that stuff from back months and even years. So they were covering the period that he was in the campaign, and that's exactly the reason they went for the FISA, to get that stuff.
So what do you think, what questions will John Durham address that the IG didn't?
Well, Durham is looking at the whole waterfront. He is looking at the issue of how it got started. he's looking at whether or not the narrative of Trump being involved in the Russian interference actually preceded July and was in fact the precipitating trigger for the investigation. He's also looking at the conduct of the investigation. There are some things that were done in the investigation that are not included in Horowitz's report, and he's looking at those things. But also, a few weeks ago, I told him that he should spend just as much attention on the post-election period. And I did that because of some of the stuff that Horowitz has uncovered, which to me is inexplicable.
Such
inexplicable.
As?
Well, what I said is their case collapsed after the election. And they never told the court, and they kept on getting renewals on these applications. There was documents falsified in order to get these renewals. There was all kinds of withholding of information from the court. And the question really is, what was the agenda after the election that kept them pressing ahead after their case collapsed? This is the President of the United States.
You, of course, went to three countries with him. Why did you have to do that? And some people have said, well, this is clearly Bill Barr's in charge of the investigation.
Well, the presentation of that in the media has been silly. The person running the investigation is John Durham. But this is a very unusual circumstance where we are going to foreign governments and asking them to assist and cooperate, including, you know, some of their sensitive materials and personnel. And a U.S. attorney doesn't show up on the doorstep in some of these countries like London and say, hey, I want to talk to your intelligence people and so forth. All the regularities were followed. I went through the my purpose was to introduce to the appropriate people and set up a channel that he could work with these countries. At the request of the country, I went through the ambassadors of each country. And the governments wanted to initially talk to me to find out, what is this about? What are the ground rules? Is this going to be a criminal case? Are you going to, you know, do a public report? They wanted to understand the ground rules before they met with Durham, and I met with them, and then I set up appropriate channels. This was perfectly appropriate.
Speaking of whether something is appropriate or not, was it appropriate for John Durham to issue his statement yesterday, given that he's a U.S. attorney with a grand jury and his investigation isn't done yet?
I think it was definitely appropriate because I think it was necessary to avoid public confusion. I think it was sort of being reported by the press that the issue of predication was sort of done and over, even though it was a very limited look at that issue by the IG, given the narrowness of his, of the evidence available to him. And I think it was important for people to understand Durham's work was not being preempted, and that Durham was doing something different, and he explains what he's doing different, and that there are areas of disagreement. I think it was perfectly appropriate, so the public understood the relationship between the two exercises.
So you've outlined a number, so does the Inspector General, of problems with the way the FBI handled this investigation. Are you confident that Chris Wray can fix them? And I ask that in light of the president's tweet today where he says, I don't know what report current Director Wray was reading, but it sure wasn't the one given to me. With that kind of attitude, he'll never be able to fix the FBI.
Well, practically speaking, I think Chris has been working hard to address the problems of the past. We've worked well together. The people who were involved in the past are no longer there. He's brought in a new team that I think is a good team. I have confidence in that team. I think he has set forth a number of specific proposals as to how to address those problems. And I think what the president was getting at, and I feel the same way, is that we can't ignore the abuses of the past appear to be justifying them or minimizing them. We have to focus on getting it right going forward.
So you have confidence in Chris Wray?
Yes.
Before I go into a couple of other questions, let me just sort of button this up. I think a lot of people will hear what you're saying here and think, well, that's just Bill Barr defending Trump. Your concern about the FBI's investigation is what? Civil libertarian?
I think our nation was turned on its head for 3 years. I think based on a completely bogus narrative that was largely fanned and hyped by an irresponsible press. And I think that there were gross abuses of FISA and inexplicable behavior that is intolerable in the FBI. And the Attorney General's primary responsibility is to protect against the abuse of the law enforcement and intelligence apparatus and make sure that it doesn't play an improper role in our political life. That's my responsibility, and I'm going to carry it out.
Well, I want to interject here. Where was Attorney General Loretta Lynch? See, the FBI director and his deputy director and the agent working on this are not going to commit, which they did, crimes, unless this was green-lighted not only by the Attorney General Loretta Lynch, but also the President of the United States, Barack Obama. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the biggest political scandal in United States history. Where was President Obama? Where was the Attorney General? They wanted to be read in on this, and they were. And Barack Obama has a pattern of trying to get as much dirt on his political opponent. This is a pattern that is being implemented right here. What's different about it is two things. What they were doing are criminal felonies. If this is a criminal conspiracy using the surveillance techniques of the intelligence, those departments that involve intelligence, including the FBI, Department of Justice. I'm sure the National Security Agency was involved in this, as well as the Central Intelligence Agency, because there's an international dimension to this that will be coming out, or should be coming out, when Durham finishes his investigation and we start to see the indictments. And let me interject some politics here. There are tens of millions of American people that are following this and are waiting and waiting and waiting because up to now, and I think for at least another year, maybe two, none of the people that were committing these crimes has spent a day in a courtroom. Forget about a prison. It goes right into the White House and the Oval Office. He was spying on his opponent using the FBI and the Central Intelligence Agency to do this. You had activist, partisan Democrats doing this. They were breaking the law. Now, many of you are saying, that's rather stupid of him. And that was my first reaction. It is rather stupid. You're going to get caught. There are just too many records. Automatic backing up. But they never thought President Trump was going to win. Hillary Clinton was going to win. And when she didn't, they had a big problem. So they decided, let's not stop it. Let's continue it. And we'll impeach him. And that's what they're trying to do in the House. The problem they have there is just the similar problem they had with this investigation. There's no crime. There's no high crime. They're lying about what Trump did. They have no evidence. No evidence. Mueller came up with no evidence that Trump or anyone in his campaign were conspiring with the Russians. At that point, it should have been finished. Frankly, it never should have got started. But the Democrats won't let go. Well, I believe the consequences of this next November, when more and more and more of the details come out, and even big lie media can't ignore it. And remember what the Attorney General said. Media was the echo chamber pushing the narrative, and it was lies. The American people were lied to, and they're still being lied to. If you don't believe me? Listen to Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi. Now, I'm going to leave it there. I want to turn now to what's happening in the House. The Democrats are sprinting to impeach Donald Trump. I'm cheering him on. Eventually, they're going to wake up when they go back to their districts next week for Christmas. I know we're two weeks away. And they're going to find that their own people, their base, they're going to get an earful. Because the majority of American people don't believe in what the Democratic Party is doing. I find it totally disgraceful. I'm not a Democrat or Republican. But I fear for my country when we have liars like Adam Schiff trying to pull this. He said for 2 years that he had solid evidence that Donald Trump was colluding with the Russians. He didn't have anything. He was making it up, just like he made up the conversation between Trump and the president of Ukraine, Zelensky, when all he had to do was read the release declassified by President Trump, memorandum of conversation. He's a notorious pathological liar, yet he is leading this. Oh, yes, by the way, he didn't show up today. He issued a report, call it some more fiction. So to conclude this show, what I want to do is briefly, because I think this is a complete waste of time and most Americans have tuned out, I want you to hear what the ranking minority member of the committee had to say, Doug Collins. Now, he calls this impeachment the focus group impeachment. Oh, I think it's right. This has been totally scripted, tested. Instead of looking for the truth, they were looking for a way to impeach and convict Donald Trump, and they haven't found anything. Why? Because they're afraid that Donald Trump is going to win in November. Well, I think they have much to fear. I'm going to fine-tune my prediction. I think Donald Trump, barring a severe recession, which I don't think will happen next year, the economy's doing well, growing. It's not in a recession. It could be doing a lot better and maybe will do a lot better. Keep that in mind. Most presidents, when you have such a low unemployment rate, get reelected. If it's under 4%, and in terms of the unemployment rate, and the economy is growing, usually you win. The occupant of the White House, the incumbent, wins, and I think Donald Trump is going to win. The question is how much? Well, because of this impeachment effort, when you combine it with, I think, what's going to happen next year, probably the middle of the year, going right into the election period, we're going to hear of indictment after indictment after indictment of former Department of Justice, FBI, White House people indicted for committing crimes. This is just, the key point is the U.S. attorney can call a grand jury and present the evidence and indict him. That's not the function of the inspector general. He's just trying to see, were procedures, protocols followed, and in this case, they were not, just the opposite. So let's listen to Doug Collins.
You know, there have been famous moments in impeachment. There have been famous moments in impeachment as we've gone forward. There are famous lines from Nixon, like, what did the president know and when did he know it? From the Clinton impeachment, there was, I did not have sex with that woman. What would be known about this one is probably, where's the impeachable offense? Why are we here? I tell you, this may be, though, become known as the focus group impeachment, because we don't have a crime, we don't have anything we can actually pin, and nobody understands really what the majority is trying to do, except that interfere and basically make sure that they believe the president can't win next year if he's impeached. The focus group impeachment takes words and then takes them to people and say, how can we explain this better? Because we don't have the facts to match it. A focus group impeachment says, you know, we really aren't working with good facts, but we need a good PR move. That's why we're here today. This is all about, as I said last week, a clock and a calendar. And it really became evident to me that this was true because last Wednesday, after we had a long day of hearing here, the next morning, before anything else could get started, the Speaker of the House walked up to the podium and said, go write articles of impeachment. She just quit. She just stopped. Go write articles of impeachment. I appreciate that the majority practiced for 2 days this weekend on this hearing. I appreciate that the fact that you got to try and get it right to try and convince the American people of your problem, but your speaker's already undercut you. She took the thrill out of the room. You're writing articles of impeachment. Why couldn't we just save that time today? And if you're going to write the articles of impeachment, go ahead and write them. Well, there's probably a reason for that, because there's... Chairman laid out some amazing claims, none of which I think after this hearing today, the American people can honestly look at and see that there is overwhelming evidence, there is a proper reason he abused this power, because as the speaker, another statement she said, that to do impeachment you have to be so compelling and overwhelming and bipartisan, all of which we are not. So why not? Why aren't we here? Well, I think we can do this. Let's look at the three things that typically are associated with making your case for a crime. Let's do it against what the majority has said. I think they have motive, they have means, and they have opportunity. What's their motive? It's November 2020. It's been said over and over and over again. The chairman said it again this morning. It's been said all along that we have to do this because if we don't impeach him, he'll win again next year. The reason is shown as clearly as last week on the jobs report and the economy. And as I had a man come up to me in the grocery store this weekend, he said, keep doing what you're doing. He said, I've never seen an economy this good. He said, people are working, people are being taken care of. And this is just a fatal distraction on a president that they don't like. Motive is easy. November 2016, they lost. January 2017, just a few minutes in, the Washington Post confirmed what every Democrat had been talking about. Now's the time for impeachment. We see tweet after tweet saying, now let's get at it. It's amazing that they start with impeachment, and then they spent 2 years trying to figure out, what do we impeach him on? Well, the means became what we see now. The means is to always talk about impeachment, to always say this president's doing something wrong, to say he is illegitimate, as the chairman has said before, that he's not even a legitimate president. It's to constantly tear down at a president who is working on behalf of the American people. The sham impeachment, when we go through this, I think the chairman said something that was interesting. He said that a president should not be above the law and should be held accountable for the oath of their office. I think Congress ought to be held accountable for their oath of office as well, and not to do what we're doing right now, and that is run a process that doesn't fit fairness or decorum, to run a process and a fact pattern that you're having to force against a president you don't like. But what was the opportunity? The opportunity came last November when they got the majority and they began their impeachment run. They began in the process, even as selecting the chairman. The chairman said that I would be the best person for impeachment. This is November of last year. Before we had any hearings, before we had even were sworn in to this Congress, for anyone, the media or watching on TV or watching in this room, for anyone to think that this was not a baked deal is not being honest with themselves. You see, presumption has now become the standard instead of proof. It should cause anyone to begin to question, because the entire case is built on a presumption, or as we found out last week from three scholars, that inference is okay. If you just infer that that's what they mean, then we'll take that. That was an interesting line. You know, it was interesting. They made their whole case built on Gordon Sondland. You're going to see that a lot today. He testified that he presumed that the aide was connected to an investigation, but he said nobody ever told him that. When Sondland even asked the president directly, he said, what do you want? The president said, I want nothing. I want Zelensky to do what he ran on. Ukraine did nothing and got the aide anyway. But you know how I know that this is also a problematic experience? Just look over the past 3 weeks. When the chairman of the Intelligence Committee, who, by the way, is absent today, I guess he can't back up his own report, but he started his own hearing by making up the factual call. When he made it up, he started the fairy tale that we're having today. If you can't even put the transcript in the right context, just read it. Chairman Schiff couldn't even read the transcript. He had to make it up, because if he didn't make it up, it didn't sound as bad. It didn't sound as bad. He said, listen, he said, let's make up some dirt. That's not what was said. The transcript, the chairman misled the American people. As an attorney, as a chairman, as a member of Congress who swore an oath to tell, basically to be honest with the American people and to uphold the Constitution, that was such a massive malpractice I've never seen. Because you know why? Again, they don't care about what actually was in the transcript. They don't actually care what happened. And we heard last week from witnesses, they don't even care that the aid was released. They're simply looking at the facts to make it fit their narrative.
I have to leave it there. They don't have an impeachable offense. This is a total, complete disgrace. The Democratic Party and its leadership should be ashamed. And like I said, come next November, many of them will no longer be in Congress. And hopefully, and I'm not a Republican, the Republicans will take back control of the House, because we've seen how corrupt the Democratic Party has been. They've misused the government. They're misusing the Congress. They are corrupt and threatening the American people. They have committed many, many felonies, and they should be prosecuted and will be prosecuted. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. with a voice of Richland College.
You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.